To meet a theologian who can sing is dangerous. You have already got one. Now you get another, even more dangerous. I am a theologian who can sing, who can perform, an artist. When people asked, what is your art? Simple, storytelling is my art. So this afternoon, sisters and brothers, I do not just appeal to your intellect alone, but to your feelings, to your emotions, and to your whole being. I understand this process of re-imaging as a collective process. It is not done by me, Puilan, alone, nor just by the panel of wonderful speakers, but all of us. In certain parts of my presentation this afternoon, I would invite you to participate in the re-imaging process. I hope many of you will participate, but I also honor your freedom not to do so. Last night, we began gathering together, forming circles of tables, and we were given this particular thing, the tobacco. I still carry that. When we carry that, and then we pray to God and the Spirit. We were also given this, a very sacred ritualistic object. I am carrying this home as part of my wonderful memory. This morning we heard the eloquence of Rita, her story. We met Chung Hang Giang, who dared to break the taboo, ate the apple in front of us. Those are indeed awesome experiences. When people share their encounter with the Spirit, it's always awesome. This afternoon, I am about to share with you how the Chinese encountered Jesus. It is equally awesome. I have been thinking why I was asked to speak about Jesus. Why? To tell the truth, I cannot even imagine Jesus in my own image. The Lord said, when we are talking about this reimagining, we are not talking about Jesus wearing trousers or skirts. But that is indeed the question. How many of you can imagine Jesus something like me? Have you imagined Jesus like this? I cannot even imagine myself. And that is why I was asked to speak. It's indeed iconoclastic. When we ask a panel of women, the wrong sex, sorry, as zero black and white woman to talk about Jesus, the act itself is iconoclastic. It is an act of resistance and a cause for celebration. I write poetry. So here I want to begin. The poem is not done because you are going to help me with the last part of it. So depending on how you image Jesus, you will have that second part of the poem. Oh Jesus, who are you? They say you are the Son of God. How can God have a son? Who is your mother? That poor Mary, a lowly maiden, having a son out of wedlock. Oh, Jesus, who are you? They say, we need a savior. But what is our sin? How can we let others define our sins? The colonizers need a white Jesus. We need to save ourselves from the white folks. Oh, Jesus, who are you? They say, you are the sacrificial lamb. Why a lamb? We seldom see a lamb in Asia. We can't afford lamb for dinner. They say, you need to be sacrificed so that we can be reconciled to God. Who is this funny God? Who needs to be reconciled with him? Oh, Jesus, who are you? They say, you are a man and can't save women. We say, you can't save men too. They come to take our land, rape our women, lend us money, and get us into debts. Bush, Episcopalian, Clinton, Baptist. Oh, Jesus, who are you? Are you the incarnated one, Emmanuel, Ecclesia? Oh, Jesus, who are you? Are you Kali? Are you Guan Yin? Are you in? Oh, Jesus, who are you? Who are you? When I was in the seminaries some 20 years ago, I had a fellow classmate who one day told us a story. He said, I am not going to study God nor Jesus anymore. I don't think I can continue to study in the seminary. We were worried about him. We asked, why not? He said, my father died when I was very young. I was raised up by my mother. My mother went to the factories, worked many hours. Now I am in seminary. I am going to be a pastor. But I never know. I cannot understand how to talk about Jesus to my mother, who's illiterate, who's a poor factory worker. Who indeed is this Jesus? Many of us, fellow seminarians, had the same question. Many of us, first generation Christians. My parents are not Christians. We had that same problem. But we kept that question secret in our hearts. We did not ask. We survive. So what about this re-imaging thing? This afternoon, I will offer 3 steps for our collective re-imaging process. 1, taking the cue from Hangyang, breaking the taboo. In this case, dare to ask the questions we have always wanted to ask. Second, be conscious of that something which is not fitting. What is not fitting in the scheme that we have inherited in the church, in the synagogue, in the academy? Some traditional metaphors about Jesus, for me at least, are dead, not useful, not fitting, even idolatrous. That white Jesus brought to Asia, Africa, Latin America, certainly must be named as idolatrous. What is not fitting? If it is not speaking to our own experiences as women, that is not fitting. If it does not speak to our experiences as a people, in my particular case, as Asians, then it is not fitting. We want to be 100% Asians and 100% Christian. The third step, sorting out new patterns, making new connections. The image I have is making a quilt. This morning, there was a woman sitting very close to me, making a quilt as she was listening to Rita and Hang Kiang. Have you made a quilt? Very often you thought of a pattern. Then you fix the pieces, and sometimes it didn't quite fit, right? So you change a little bit, or you change the color. So it's always a process of trying to sew together different colors, different shapes, different sizes of little pieces together. This sorting out new pattern is always a process. It is a dynamic process. It's a naming process for ourselves and for our people. In this sorting new patterns, making new connections, we have to allow our imaginations to run wild. Wild, breaking the taboos. Using your fingers, your taste, your smell, as well as your vision and your hearing. Indeed, your whole being. In this re-imaging process, let us reassure each other as brothers and sisters that we are indeed, each one of us, a theologian, responsible for our own theology, responsible for our own imagining. You cannot depend on a man to do the reimagining. You cannot depend on Pui Lan, nor Barbara, nor Delors to do that for you. That is the frightening aspect. We stand before God as mature women. Why not? But never alone. In good company. Doing it together. I would lift up two images of Jesus that is not fitting in my particular Chinese context. Later on, I would lift up three images that is emerging from Asia that I would like to offer you as a gift. Jesus asked the most fundamental question, "Who do you say that I am?" This question was first posed by Jesus to his Jewish disciples. Later, when Paul and other evangelists preached the gospel to cities around the Mediterranean Sea, The so-called Gentiles of the Greco-Roman world were confronted with the same question. For centuries, the answers to the Christological question was largely shaped by Christians living under the influences of Hebrew and Greek civilizations during the formative period of Christianity. When missionaries came to Asia, this Christological debate was rekindled in another cultural context, in the midst of the rich and diverse religious backgrounds of the Asians. Many Asian people have a linguistic structure, thought pattern, worldview, and lifestyle that is radically different from the West. The Chinese, for example, continue to use a pictorial form of writing, though other ancient civilizations, like the Egyptians, had changed to other forms of writing long ago. We have developed a complex and intricate philosophical system, oriental art form, and literary masterpieces based on that pictorial writing system. So, before the missionaries could proclaim that Jesus was God incarnate, first of all, they had to find a Chinese term for God. For more than 300 years, the missionaries and the Chinese could not settle the debate over how to render the Hebrew and Greek terms Elohim or Theos, or in English, God, into the Chinese language. The non-translatability of the term God signifies the difference that exists between the Chinese and Indo-European languages. But the difference in language only reflects the deeper divergence in mental categories. For the missionaries and many Westerners, God is the name of a self-existent, eternal, almighty being, creator of heaven and earth, standing outside the universe. In contrast, the Chinese conceive of cosmogony as a dynamic, continuous, and organismic process in which there is no creator who stands outside the universe. The image is not a potter making a pot, but a tree branching and growing from its hidden roots. You don't need a creator. Since the Chinese do not simply have an equivalent for God, the idea that Jesus is the incarnation of God in history was simply irrational, implausible, not understandable. Given the fact that Jesus was born only in the first century, in our West Hang dynasty, folks, we indeed have reason to doubt where God was in our Song dynasty, in our Zhou dynasty. Where was Jesus? The second image that the missionaries brought to us was the image that God, the Son of God, as the Redeemer. We had a lot of problems with that one, too. In the Christological debate in China, the most controversial issue was the Christian affirmation that Jesus is the Redeemer of humankind. Christians believe in the depravity of all human beings, and Augustine's interpretation of original sin influenced the Western understanding of humankind for centuries. Since human beings are sinners, they can only be reconciled with God through the death and sacrifice of Jesus the Christ. The humanistic Confucian traditions understands human nature very differently. Both Confucius and Mencius emphasized the propensities in human nature for good rather than for evil. We were, of course, condemned by the missionaries as heretics. Through learning the Chinese classic, vigorous self-cultivation, and developing one's moral faculty, we Chinese believe there is a genuine possibility for human beings to achieve moral perfection and sainthood. This general optimism in human nature is shared by Mahayana Buddhism, which emphasized the capacity of attaining Buddhahood in all human beings and the possibility of sudden enlightenment. Many scholars have insisted that there is no equivalent concept of sin, understood as a fundamental depravity in a religious sense in classical Chinese culture. The Chinese, the Japanese, the Oriental people speak more of shame and guilt, and rather rarely of sin. As the Lord said, there have been many different atonement theories in the West, trying to provide answers to the difficult question, how can Jesus be the savior of humankind? These theories borrow metaphors and concepts from Western human experience, and they are clearly culturally bound. For example, the ransom theory that Jesus was paid as a set ransom for our salvation was based on the Roman penal system, and the expiation theory, Jesus was offered as a lamb for sacrifice, clearly bore the marks of the sacrificial rituals of the Jews. Some of these theories may not be easily understood by people of the modern West, not to mention by the Chinese. 1.2 billion with a different mental framework. Sisters and brothers, I urge you, instead of requiring the Chinese to accept Christological answers formulated by another culture in another time, it might be worthwhile to understand why they simply could not understand who Jesus was and is. This kind of cross-cultural study poses new questions to our hidden presuppositions and help us to break the taboo and ask new questions, thereby opening up new avenues for us to ponder the significance of Christ in our religiously pluralistic world. So I have mentioned Jesus as God incarnate, very difficult for us to understand. Jesus as the Redeemer, very problematic. Now I want to lift up three images emerging from Asia. The first image, Jesus as the suffering and struggling people of Asia. Blessed are the blind, for they do not have to see. Blessed are the deaf, for they don't have to hear. Blessed are the lame, for they don't have to feel. But they cannot stop their hearts from pulsating with the hearts of the children at Tiananmen Square. They cannot stop their hearts from pulsating with the hearts of children at Tiananmen Square. This is a poem written by a Beijing citizen on June 5th, the day after the Tiananmen Massacre, 1989. After the event, I ponder, who is this Jesus? Remember the Last Supper? The women were busy preparing the meal, but even in the kitchen, they could overhear Jesus saying somebody would die and there must be bloodshed. Was Jesus planning a revolution? Why did someone have to die? Before the Beijing students went for their strike, they wrote, "We do not want to die. We want to live. But if our death can make the lives of people better and the motherland more prosperous, we do not have the right to live." Can I invite you to stand up, to image for yourself these suffering and struggling people, not only in Asia, but all over the world, as I sing this song that the Beijing students sing. Image for yourself. Form a posture. Lift up your hand, or close your eye, or whatever.
如果是这样，不要闭上过我的地上，有我血缘的风采。
Please be seated. The song said, if this is so, don't be sorrowful. The land of the Republic will have our blood-tainted continents. The next image I want to lift up for all of us is the broken body of women who reveals the power and principalities in this world. I want to lift up the woman with AIDS in Thailand. We have 400,000 prostitutes in Thailand alone. 60% of these prostitutes, 250,000, HIV positive. The broken body of Jesus revealed the power and principalities governing this world. The broken body of the HIV Thai prostitute is now God incarnate among us, revealing the power and the principality. I ask you to stand up again for our second imagining. This time, I ask you to imagine a broken woman's body.
Just call me by my name. Just call me by my name. Just call me by my name, oh my Lord. Just call me by my name.
Thank you. Please be seated. There is, however, a third image, and I will be quick. This image is the image of the fig tree. I always said, Jesus, you should not curse the fig tree. Remember, Jesus was hungry, and Jesus cursed the fig tree.
we believe in reincarnation. Wherever comes from you, it comes back. So I want to imagine Jesus as the fig tree. Jesus told many parables about the mustard seed, about the seed, but I said, what about the fig tree? Now I am not joking. Why? Because without our environmental concern, nothing will help us to save ourselves. If we cannot imagine Jesus as a tree, as a river, as wind, and as rain, we are doomed together. Mm-hmm. If we are forever anthropocentric in our search for the Redeemer, we are doomed. So stand up, imagine yourself as a tree, move as a tree. We don't have the fig tree in Asia, so I don't have a song for fig tree. Besides, I have a green pine tree from Korea. Look at the hills there, full of green pine tree. Though there's no one out there to look after them through the wind and rain, through the drifting snow, they still stand bright and green till the end of time. It's wonderful. I don't need the second part of my poem. You have collectively written it. Thank you.